Hey, welcome. Carm Capriotto here with Remarkable Results Radio's episode 473, along with Derek Kaufman, who's talking about how combining CAD, video, and near-eye technologies may be just around the corner for the aftermarket as we talk about AR, augmented reality.
He climbs down onto the top of the box and he begins to diagnose the thing. Well, all he has a pair of near eye glasses on, and all of the tech of that elevator, its history, its repair history, its operating condition, the pressures or whatever, are all right there in his eye. So he can touch things kind of in the air, and they pop up to him.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey friends, Carm Capriotto here, the Aftermarket Podcast Guy. Hey, Remarkable Results Radio is proud to be a partner with Napa Auto Care in the upcoming 2020 Napa Expo. Join Napa in Las Vegas. Write this down, April 6th through 9th, 2020, to discover the latest innovations in the auto care industry. Recently, I met some auto care professionals that said the last expo was fabulous, and they wish they'd hold it every year, but they don't. It's every five, so you don't want to miss this one. Contact your Napa store or salesperson to learn more. Hey, I know how much you rely on the podcast to keep you updated with the talk on the street, as well as trends, insights, and ideas that help support you and your business. And thank you for listening. Now, when you listen and subscribe to the podcast, it definitely fuels my passion to search for great stories, intriguing guests that help support aftermarket professionals in their quest, your quest, for improved prosperity at both home and business. You know, every episode has the ingredients to help you improve along the way. Now, I hope you get a chance to visit the books page, the apps page, and even the quick episode listing page on the website. You know, we get thousands of visits each month. And you know, I love my coffee. I recently opened a Buy Me a Coffee link at remarkableresults.biz/coffee. Now, if you love what we do here on the Aftermarket's premier podcast, let's Java. Hey, today we're talking about augmented reality technology. Just think, our new generation of technicians was raised on video games. So all new tech coming down the pipeline will not be that much of a stretch. Derek Kaufman, managing partner of Schwartz Advisors, and I are going to dig deep into the world of service and repair guidance and consider what that means to us in the near future. Using technology to augment and improvise diagnostics by using a see-through lens or visor will become reality, not too far away. Derek says there's a drumbeat that says AR is close by and will become commonplace in our not-too-distant future. We discuss how AR may function as a support tool sooner than you think. Now, I'll have a link on the show notes page to the Microsoft HoloLens that we talk about, a must-see video. Find the talking points at remarkableresults.biz/E473. You know, Derek Kaufman explains that the Army and Air Force mechanics have been using augmented reality for a few years now to repair really sophisticated electromechanical systems. Hey, it's time for you to get your geek on. Will you be an early adopter? Hey, a warm welcome to Derek Kaufman. I don't know if it's at the third or the fourth time, man, but I love having you on.
I'm glad to be here.
Managing partner from Schwartz Associates, good to have you here. Would you be interested in talking to me about augmented reality?
I'm always interested in talking about augmented reality.
All right, so you're out there doing conference presentations. You've been talking about the role of new techs, new technology, technician training, guidance, all that stuff. Things like, as I said, augmented reality and near-eye video. Whoa, that's interesting. So let's start with a few definitions to get everyone on the same page. Tell me about augmented reality and near-eye technology.
We have been talking about it for more than 5 years. It might be even in the last 10 years, but certainly in the last five, we've been concentrated on it a lot. And augmented reality is simply the addition of digital images to what a camera is seeing or what you're looking at, and kind of overlaying those images to make them look realistic to you. So if you can point a camera, you know, at an engine bay, and a digital outline of the water pump or something appears and augments or adds to the reality of what I'm seeing, that's augmented reality. on the near eye video, that's just a term on how the augmented reality or AR images are delivered to your eyes. So rather than viewing it, a lot of techs now are using iPads. I see them all the time in shops. But with a near eye camera, it's built into your safety glasses and it delivers images that appear full screen in your brain. So it can free a technician from holding onto the tablet or, you know, being on a computer. So people are using this technology now to build technician training programs and technician guidance programs that will aid in the identification or location of components and their removal and replacement.
I know we're going to talk a little bit more about this later, Microsoft company, and we will. I want to entice everyone to stand by for when we get to that Microsoft product to go out and look at some of videos, just mind blowing. So, Derek, why should shops care? How's this technology going to impact us?
We're like you, Carmen. We're in shops all the time, talking to owners, talking to technicians, and you know we see them challenged in a lot of different ways. First, just think about the widening spread of vehicle knowledge that's required in a shop today. It's kind of mind blowing. You know, the average age of a car is 11.8 years. That means that there's a bunch of 15 or 20 or 25 year old cars in the shop. At the same time, these new vehicles from the last 3, 4, 5 years. Coming in with all kinds of new technology on them, electronics and embedded software and component electrification, on and on. So shops now need the expertise of the folks who can handle a 95 Chevy, as well as the ADAS sensor replacement on a 2016 Audi.
Makes sense.
So, yeah. So, you know, second is in decreasing touch points per vehicle. You know, we see that with better quality, with oil change, synthetic oil, these types of things being stretched out, tires lasting longer. So shops are used to see a car, a specific vehicle, maybe 4 times a year for some type of service. Now they're seeing that vehicle less than 2 times. So shops need to get their car count up by turning bays faster. And third, and it's just the attraction and retention of technicians, such a critical issue for the industry. How can shops make their facilities better places to work? And I think augmented reality can actually address all three of these items. By packaging more information on a wider range of vehicles and delivering it straight to the technician as he or she works on a vehicle, AR is going to actually equalize the set of skills of the techs in a shop. And that'll give managers more flexibility on who can be assigned a certain task. On increasing car count, I think that AR can help techs remove and replace components faster by guiding them as they work. And those minutes saved, you know, can turn into hours and they can turn into more bays turned during a day. And finally, the whole generation of technicians that we're talking about hiring now, of course, have all been raised on video games. They, you know, they get this technology, and I think AR can attract them to our industry and frankly, you know, keep them in it because it's something they're used to and comfortable with.
It's amazing. When I took a look at that video, it just kind of totally blew me away. And I can see where it can help. I can also see, as you say, how it could engage our new generation of technicians. I can't argue with anything you say. It all makes sense. But it sounds like an awful lot of content will need to be converted into augmented reality packages. So here's the big question. Who's going to do that?
It is a great question. And I think about, you know, service information delivery, you know, all the time, just how much there is out there. So it is the industry's challenge. But people are on it and the work's being done. And as I said, you know, we've been following this for some years. What we're seeing is that a lot of companies, I'm talking about digital AR companies now, that have been working with the U.S. military on this for several years, are now opening their software for use in the automotive and other markets. So you may or may not know it, but Army and Air Force mechanics have been using augmented reality for several years to repair really sophisticated electromechanical systems.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and these AR companies now can take a CAD drawing of a transmission and explode it so that a technician can essentially walk into the image to understand the inner workings of all the components. And now those same companies are expanding the content and converting it into AR. In addition to the CAD content, they can take 3D scan parts, for instance, to make it easier and lower cost for AR content to be generated. So ultimately, we think AR will be built into the original design of parts in the automotive industry. So I come from a manufacturing, automotive manufacturing background early on, and I was there for the push of design for manufacturing years ago. But we're going to see a design for training or design for service push in the near future centered around AR. And the manufacturers are going to do this. Their tier one, their tier two suppliers will do it. And at Schwartz Advisors, you know, we've been urging our clients who are the parts distributors to see this as kind of a value added content as a differentiator of how they'll sell into shops around the country in the future.
I find that so interesting as to how that would work on the distribution side, but no doubt it's got to help them pick and pull apart and get it out to the field quicker, better, and faster someday, right?
Yeah, I think it's all a matter of timing of adoption. You know, most of the manufacturers, the vehicle manufacturers, have already incorporated some form of AR into their car retailing. So you get online, almost every site now has a 360 rotation of the vehicle. Well, that's a form of AR. But now they're making them, you know, even more real. But on the service side, they've been slower to get into that because of the amount of content that they need to handle. But we are hearing that drumbeat in the background, and it's getting louder. You talked about the video you saw. Microsoft with their HoloLens AR and VR program is really pushing the content now. And they're working with a number of auto manufacturers. And Hewlett-Packard has partnered with an AR developer called Disti. It's D-I-S-T-I in Dallas. They're the folks that were behind a lot of the early military work, and especially fighter jet work. And I know that others like Harman, you know, they were recently acquired by Samsung, but I'm sure that they'll keep their AR work on or even advance it with Samsung's help and money. Continental, Visteon, they all have programs in motion on this thing, and Bosch is making a very major push in the market right now. They have something called the Common Augmented Reality Platform, CAP for short, and they use it to convert content into AR formats, and not just their content, but their customers' content. So I think that'll be a big change. So it is coming, and I think you'll hear a lot more. Like the next 3 years as this AR thing kind of reaches an inflection point and begins to zoom up.
So three years. You know how quick that goes by? Let me see. Let me just snap my finger three times and it'll be here, right? You know, you brought up something just a few minutes ago that I couldn't help but my mind wandered about what's going on with the Army. When the veterans come out into the workforce, you know, I think, they're going to say, What are you guys doing here? where's your HoloLens? So interesting. So, do you think this can result in new businesses and maybe even some new business models?
Yeah, absolutely. And I need to comment on the reference to the veterans getting out. Can you imagine the Bosches of the world as they're trying to roll this CAP thing out? They can get a hold of these Army guys and Air Force guys who have been using AR and can bring firsthand knowledge of how to apply it. I mean, that is, their value is super high there. So I hope people are connecting these veterans to that kind of work. I think that if you think about business models and things, I mean, every technology that's been put into the automotive market either has a business model that offers a return on investment, or it doesn't, or it's an undercooked one and the technology never, quite catches. So it all comes down to the business model wrapped around this. I actually think it's going to form some new types of businesses for the industry. One of the fastest growing jobs in the medical field, for instance, is something called a telematics nurse. Patients who are wearing sensors for their heart rate or their blood pressure, whatever, can get online and check in with a telematics nurse rather than getting in the car and going to a med center or to a doctor. I see that same thing coming in the auto service. Now, vehicle sensors, Bluetooth their information to a mobile device that's equipped with a camera. It can be used by technicians in a shop, maybe, or to get an expert opinion, or it can be used as a, you know, as an individual to say, you know, here's what I'm hearing in my car, you know, that famous line. So the other thing to think about is that we have transportation as a service kind of coming at us with car sharing and subscription services. So some fleet managed companies out there that are trying to track vehicles traveling around and get them serviced. Well, maybe that AR in a mobile device brings that mobile service to the vehicles in their fleet. So we're thinking that, you know, car sharing companies and those types of tasks, you know, transportation as a service companies will use it in the future as well.
Hey, it's Carm here, talking to you about what the NAPA Auto Care Center program can do for your business. Now, you probably already know the NAPA brand is the most recognized and trusted name in the automotive aftermarket industry. In fact, studies show that 95% of consumers recognize NAPA and associate it with quality parts, service, and technical expertise. So why not complete a Pro Image upgrade and take advantage of that? Pro Image is a co-branding program for the exterior and interior of your shop. On the outside, it includes the NAPA colors and distinctive NAPA signage. While the public may know you as a reliable, locally owned business, a Pro Image upgrade helps set your shop apart from the competition even further. It's also a visual signal to customers and potential customers that you and NAPA are partners. Most importantly, Pro Image really works. This co-branding opportunity has helped NAPA Auto Care Centers across the country increase their car counts and sales. In fact, those that have completed a Pro Image project enjoy an average 23% sales increase during the first year. Pro Image upgrades are also available for the interior of your shop. A Pro Image interior upgrade transforms your customer waiting area from merely utilitarian to warm and welcoming. The goal is to maintain your shop's independent identity while enhancing the customer's experience. You can get a free look at what a Pro Image exterior and interior upgrade could look like by visiting the NAPA Auto Care members site and clicking on the NAPA Pro Image link under the NAPA Pro Image tab. Or contact your local NAPA Auto Parts store. Your servicing NAPA store can tell you more about Pro Image, plus the hundreds of other reasons to become part of the NAPA Auto Care family, the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. No doubt, business models are going to be different. They're going to change. You know, the entrepreneurial drive and spirit of our wonderful countries, there's going to be cottage industries of support levels for augmented reality. And, you know, and I really think about, you know, someone becomes a tech and they join the industry, and who knows? I mean, how many directors of training do I know that started as a technician someday? And when I think about that, a cloud-based augmented reality training support or diagnostic support center, I mean, I could see, you know, a ton of, you know, HoloLenses out in the field while there's some people in the back, and it's a team diagnostics. Go here, do this. What about this? And, you know, as we move up to dynamic calibrations someday, who knows? Such a interesting time, you know. And I can sense that our shop owner listeners right now are thinking, God, Carm, what are you doing to me? I can't even think about this. Oh, great, another expensive technology that I've got to invest in. Do you have thoughts on the cost of it?
Yeah, it's true. Here comes another technology. Here comes something else for me to buy. So there's certainly, you know, a cost of the generation of the content and the delivery mechanism itself, whether that's a tablet or an iPad or some type of near eye lens, you know, new set of glasses. But I tell you that I don't actually see the investment of this type of thing this way I see ADAS calibration gear or really expensive shop tools. A lot of shops already have tablets in action, see them all the time. So they could use those to deliver AR content. And as HoloLens headsets grow in number out there in the field, and Microsoft is pushing them hard at all kinds of different industries, you know, the cost of those things will come down. So I think that the near eye in a video in a safety glass thing will be pretty cost affordable in the not too distant futures. And, you know, if AR kind of lives up to its promise of faster diagnosis and faster part removal and replacement, all those things that can increase a bay turn, well, that's going to generate a return on investment. And that'll justify the investment in this technology.
Well, I've had guests on before that have talked about the evolution of technology, the electric vehicle, saying you may need 1,000 prospects per bay, and in the future you may need 10,000. So the point of it is that if you're going to have to make money with a lot more customers someday, you're going to have to be able to do it smarter, better, quicker, and faster.
There is something that's developing here. You can see, to use a really, you know, $50 term, a bifurcation of the shop market, which says that, you know, you got the high tech guys working on the newer cars, and they've got the capex to invest in the latest and greatest gear. And then you've got, you know, you got the lower tech guys working on the older cars, and there's that split in the market. And, you know, how are the guys on the lower end of that going to play the game in the future? And I do see that develop.
Okay, so let's bring the analogy to the medical field again. You have your GP and you have your specialist. There it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at, you know, physician's assistants. Yeah, the medical field has a lot in common with automotive. If you think of how it's gone there, you're exactly right. You've got your GP, you've got your specialists, and then you have physician's assistants that are handling a lot of the more minor stuff. And really saving, you know, that time for the specialists out there. The telematics nurse will just be, you know, one adjunct to the physician's assistant now. So it adds one more layer. Pretty interesting.
Interesting thought. And I think about the equipment, as you say, the hardware may not be that expensive, but no doubt to get a subscription to get that stuff into your HoloLens, and you know, and again, think about the different platforms, the different, you know, OE manufacturers, the different componentries. You know what? We shouldn't be afraid of this thing. We should say, "Oh wow, bring it on!"
You know, you mentioned a couple of things just as examples. I'll bring up one more, and it's the unlikely example of Otis Elevator. There is a great video on YouTube. Just put Otis Elevator AR in, and you see a technician come up, lock out an elevator. He climbs down onto the top of the box, and he begins to diagnose the thing. Well, all he has a pair of near eye glasses on, and all of the tech of that elevator, its history, its repair history, its operating condition, the pressures or whatever, are all right there in his eye. So he can touch things kind of in the air, and they pop up to him. Then he works on a circuit board, and he points his camera, his telephone, at the circuit board, and there is a central service operator at Otis talking to him, saying, and she says, "Yes, that circuit looks correct. Yep, that is properly terminated," or, you know, whatever, and you're good to go. That's the, you know, to me, that it's so good. It's the future of service, and that's been out. That video has been floating around for at least 3 years.
I was fascinated with the HoloLens video where you can literally touch in space and open up a spreadsheet and, you know, open up a window. It was fascinating. Once you got your hand signals figured out, there's nowhere you couldn't go, right?
I spent a full day at Disney down in Dallas just to experience. And you feel like an idiot at first just pointing in the air, you know, to hit switches and things. But they showed, they do a lot of work for the oil rig business, the oil business. So they actually took me out on an oil rig platform with a headset on. I was able to walk up to the ledge of the gateway or the gangplank there and look down, you know, to the water. I forget how tall the thing is, but it looks like you're looking off the Empire State Building down to the ocean below you. And it's there, you know, so it's a very, very strange sensation. They can teach the oil rig people all the safety concerns of an oil rig without actually having them on the rig and, you know, subject to the concerns of safety. So
that's cool. Why you're here, because you are so, so well connected. Man, I am just so glad you're sharing this with us. And you will always come back and bring us the latest stuff. So you mentioned earlier that you work with the parts distributors in our aftermarket. And are they on board with AR? I mean, we kind of, I think, talked about that.
I wish I could jump in and say, man, everybody is on board and going full speed ahead. But I have to tell you that the answer is kind of yes and no. So, you know, like vehicle manufacturers, if you go in the parts retailers, parts stores, chances are you'll see some type of AR being employed to help customers make smarter buying decisions in their stores and online. But the application of AR as a value added for that part delivered in the shop is not yet a thing. So we don't really see warehouse distributors demanding AR content to differentiate their services. They're not on board yet. But it doesn't mean that they don't know about it, that they're not interested in it. They just haven't seen a business model that makes a case for AR in their delivery of cost makeup. And I'll tell you this, I'd watch for some of the online parts suppliers to begin ramping up the use of AR as service shops will use it. Then the WDs and the brick and mortar retailers will ramp up their game quickly.
Yeah, the thing I worry about, and you know, I am all for the DIFM market, but can you imagine that this gets into the hands of the DIYer and they're going to buy the lens, they're going to get a subscription, and they're going to figure out how to fix their car. And the thing that really worries me is that since there's no standards in the safety, you know, and the reliability of the vehicle as OE intended it, this kind of technology could possibly get into the wrong hands. And actually, in the case of ADAS safety systems and calibrations, it may just, you know, if you don't have the proper tools and the proper training, you know what you're doing. It would be like a DIY gallbladder operation. Who wants that?
Yes. No. You've made a very good point there. This thing's got limitations to it. I really do see it though as a shop tool of the future. You make the point, and I have to say, I've got a John Deere tractor. I'll tell you that John Deere does not do a particularly good job online or at their dealerships of informing me how to do some things on this tractor. And I YouTube my way to success with that thing, even just, you know, basic attachments and that type of thing. I'm on YouTube all the time, and somebody has, you know, a video up there. So there is that DIY component to it, Carm, but I really believe that, you know, with the ongoing complexity of vehicles, your ability to pop up a hood, take an engine cover off and, you know, start mucking around in it will still be pretty limited. You're going to need that technician.
Got it. Wow. Okay. So the possibilities of AR are endless, Derek.
Yep. A really exciting technology for I would say our near-term future.
Always fascinated by all the stuff you bring here. Derek Kaufman, Managing Partner at Schwartz Associates. Thanks for being here, man.
Thank you. Always good to be with you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.